Nearing the midway point of the road to Hershey, it's the Rebel Yell podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. Two rounds of the PIAA postseason in the books and three more remaining. Quarterfinals coming up Friday, Saturday. Semifinals are next Monday, Tuesday, and then the championships Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Giant Center in Hershey, which is where our guest will be next year at this time, Riley Qualike, the outstanding junior guard.
Mark your word.
I mean, you guys are going to be loaded next year.
I mean, we got pretty much everybody back, and we did really well this year, even though we didn't make it as far as we wanted to. So I think with everybody, with what they've done, without me especially, like, they really excelled. So we got a chance.
Yeah, you should be excited. Kudos to Pete and Susie.
Absolutely.
The surly Serios. because this is really an injury where your young, inexperienced team was relying on you heavily early on. You go down, out for the year. They could have fallen off a cliff.
Absolutely.
And you guys nearly knocked off North Allegheny in the quarterfinals. Kudos to all the girls for stepping up.
Yeah, they've done such a great job, seriously. And I mean, I know obviously it didn't end how we wanted it to, but we got to be proud of ourselves. We made the most of what we could.
How much, before we start recapping here, have you, I mean, you know, you're big time into basketball. You've obviously been a part of the high school scene as a freshman and a sophomore, as a player. How much did you pay attention to this time of year, the state playoffs, before you came to Upper St. Clair, before your high school days? And even once you guys were eliminated, did you pay attention, or were you like, you know what? We're done, so I'm done.
Well, I mean, whenever there was a Whipple team that made it far, like whenever I was in 7th and 8th grade, North Allegheny was really far in states both of those years. So we were definitely really on, like, into watching those. I know I actually went and watched North Allegheny at the Pete. I think I was in 7th grade. One of the years, whenever they did really well. And I think that's probably what has led me to kind of follow that, just because it was a Whipple team that made it far, so it was familiarity.
Did you follow those great Chartiers Valley teams?
I did as well. I've known Perry and Aislinn and the Twins, and I've known like that core five for a really long time. So they've always had my eye too.
Were you a freshman when they were still there, or were you, by the time you became a high school player, they were gone?
It would have been – no, I was a freshman when they were all seniors, but they were still in 5A.
Right,
so
right,
we
right.
And we didn't play them. We scrimmaged them when I was a freshman. I do remember that. That was what I remembered, so that I knew that. But we never got to, like, actually play them in a game.
Did you school them in the scrimmage?
I think they beat us by a pretty decent margin.
I didn't ask for any score. I didn't ask for any result. I said, did you school them?
I feel like I had to have done pretty well, because it was in the middle of the season, and that was once I was starting to get used to it.
Okay.
I don't know if I necessarily dominated, but I'm pretty sure I held my ground.
In about 10 years, you will have scored about 50 in that scrimmage, but that's neither here nor there. All right, let's take a look. We'll touch on this a little bit later on, but we got the boys podcast recapping the first two rounds, previewing the quarterfinals with Kyle Dawson. Boys right now are having more success, which to me is a surprise, since I sort of run I do the PIAA rankings for Trib HSSN, and so you sort of follow what's going on elsewhere around the state as well. And usually the district girls are really, that doesn't mean we could still come away with six trophies. So I don't want to panic here.
Don't count anybody out yet.
Yeah, it's exactly. All right. So we'll start in Class A. These are the results from the first two rounds involving WPIL teams. And then we'll give you the quarterfinal matchups. Only two survivors from round one. And those were the two WPIL Class A finalists. Union rolled all over Port Allegheny by 41 points, limiting Port Allegheny to 18 points. St. Joe's defeated St. Joe's Catholic, District 7 over District 6, but Aquinas Academy lost by 16. Manesson lost big to Elk County Catholic, and Riverview lost by 25 to Bishop Guilfoyle. In the in the second round, which was played on Tuesday. Where am I here? Okay. Oh, my computer went haywire.
Where's Chris?
Well, we know. Okay, here. I just got it back. So in the second round, Union knocks off Northern Bedford, 52-42, 10-point win. Again, they've been steamrolling everybody as the defending district and state champions. St. Joe's, though, their season ends 11-point loss to Berlin Brothers Valley, a power from District 5. So here are the matchups for the quarterfinals. These are going to be on Saturday afternoon. Union will take on District 6 Bishop Guilfoyle at Norwin High School at 1:30. Berlin Brothers Valley, just mentioned the Mountaineers. They will be playing Williamsburg at Richland High School at 2 o'clock. The other two games out east, Linville Hill, District 3 champs, will take on Meadowbrook Christian, and Mountain View goes up against St. John Newman. Only one team left, but that's a very, very strong team.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that I don't want to say they're predictable, but they're somebody you can rely on to win, to go far. Like, if there was somebody I were to bet on to win again, even just looking at, like, some of the scores from these games and comparing them, like, there's not a doubt in my mind that they can absolutely pull through. Now, do I think they're going to see some competition on the other side of the bracket? Absolutely. There's Philly schools that they're 1A, there can be 1A, and they could beat 5A, 6A teams. Because, I mean, Philly basketball is a lot different than WPIL basketball. The style of play, the speed, the size. So I think that on this side of the bracket, they're going to kick butt and make it as far as they can. But on the other side, they're definitely going to see a big challenge, likely in the finals or semis.
That's a good point. Let's go to Class 2A now. Greensburg Central Catholic, the WPIL champs, took care of business in round one by 32 over Bellwood Antis. Southside, they had that great, amazing run in the WPIL playoffs, continued it in the state playoffs, at least in the first round. They beat Maplewood 34-33. Clairton, a winner. Ayanna Wade leads the Bears to a 4-point victory over a good District 9 team in Red Bank Valley. All the other teams in Class A fell by the wayside in round one. Winchester Thurston lost to Marion Center. Fort Cherry fell to Kennedy Catholic, a District 10 power. Aliquippa lost to Portage. Sarah Catholic lost to Bishop McCourt. And Rochester fell to Everett. So three district teams go into the second round. These games were played on Tuesday. And Greensburg Central Catholic, the lone survivor, 54-45, they defeated District 10 West Middlesex. Southside loses by 8 to Everett, and Clairton loses big to the Crimson Crushers of Bishop McCourt. So 2A quarterfinals, these games are on Friday night. Greensburg Central Catholic against District 5 champion Everett. That game is at Forest Hills High School at 7 p.m. Bishop McCourt, only two losses, taking on Kennedy Catholic. It's District 6 power versus District 10 power. That game is at Gateway High School, so it's local, 6 p.m. Out east, Marion Center takes on Marion Catholic at Bald Eagle High School, and Minersville against Muncie at Hazleton. So a lot of teams from the WPIL lose early. Southside and Clairton hang in there but get bounced in round two. But again, like Union, probably not the favorite, I don't think, that Union is in Class A, but Greensburg Central Catholic still alive in 2A.
Yeah, they're a team. I mean, we played them this year. We actually lost to them. I was playing, so it wasn't like we were shooken up or anything. I want to say they're a powerhouse. They're a team. They're big. They're fast. They're all familiar with each other. I know a lot of the girls. I've played against them in travel basketball. They've played together forever. They're comfortable with each other. They have a great coach, and I mean, they since they're playing somebody who won District 5, I think they absolutely have some competition coming up. But it wouldn't surprise me if you see their name in the finals or even winning the whole thing.
We're seeing the one thing we're seeing that the teams that are moving on, especially from this area that we know, and it might be other areas as well, but the bigs are playing. I mean, usually, I've had coaches tell me that guard play, guard play, guard
Yeah.
play is what wins in March. But the teams with the bigs, especially the athletic bigs,
Absolutely.
are moving on, I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, Greensburg Central Cats, like they have two or three bigs that are really they're versatile, honestly. They're tall players. They can put the like if you put them on the post, they're gonna do good things. But if you bring them out, they're not gonna stand there and do nothing. They know what they're doing. They're comfortable enough inside and out that they're definitely gonna be a big presence, especially using their height to their advantage.
All right, let's move up the ladder to Class 3A. Again, seven WPIL teams, part of the state playoffs. 4-3 in the first round. So four WPL teams moving on. WPL champion Shadyside Academy, a little bit of a scare against a pretty good River Valley team. That River Valley team eliminated Shadyside Academy from the state playoffs a year ago. 55-50, Bulldogs win. Seton LaSalle won by 20 over Carnes City. WPL runner-up Avonworth, a 14-point win over Wilmington from District 10. And Neshannock, this is their time to shine. They've got a state championship from a few years ago. They defeated Chestnut Ridge by 10. Our Lady of the Sacred Heart lost by 3 to Mercyhurst Prep. Beaver Falls lost big to Westmont Hilltop. And Keystone Oaks lost by 20 to Northwestern. So four teams go to the second round. And it's a split, 2-2. The two finalists from the WPIL win, Shadyside Academy 62-45 over Northwestern, Avonworth by 15 over Forest Hills. Seton LaSalle falls to Westmont Hilltop, and Neshannock loses to Mercyhurst Prep. So that takes us to Friday's quarterfinals in Class 3A. Shadyside Academy, Avonworth. If they're going to meet again, it will be in the semifinals. They both take on out-of-district teams in the quarterfinals. Shadyside Academy against District 6 Westmont Hilltop at Norwin at 7:30. Avonworth plays Mercyhurst Prep. Those two teams are a combined 47-5. That game at Slippery Rock University, 6 p.m. The other two games out east, Holy Redeemer against Loyalsock Township, Lancaster Catholic against Hughesville. So we could see Bulldogs, Antelopes. That was a little bit of a surprise, even though Shadyside Academy's had a tremendous season. Avonworth, with their experience, was expected to repeat. They did not. So we could see them again, but they both have tough tests coming up on Friday.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised to see Seton LaSalle fall this early. I know that they played a good game. I checked out the scores. They had a lot of players in double digits. But I was surprised to see that they were out already. Something I've noticed is that a lot of the private school or Catholic school teams are the ones that are doing really well. And I think that that's really working in their advantage. I think that the idea of building a team of girls that want to play basketball and they want to work together, I feel like those are more commonly like private schools, like the girls that truly want it. So I think that the fact that Shadyside is going to make it really far, that puts them ahead because they just want it and it shows. Same with like Greensburg Central Catholic, going back to that. They all want to be there. They all want to work hard. And I think that that's definitely like a big step that they have in front of everyone.
You brought it up. So my feeling is, especially in basketball, the difference between what do you want to call it, private or public or boundary or non-boundary, whatever you want to call it, is I think plays more in basketball than any other sport.
Absolutely.
And part of that is all you need is really, five very talented players.
Exactly.
And it really shows to me in the smaller classifications, which when you see a union do what they did last year and possibly this year, makes it even more impressive because again, they're dealing with kids from that little neck of the woods up in Lawrence County.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I feel like Traffic schools are one of those things that they don't use it in a negative way. They use it to their advantage. Like, Shadyside Academy has built a great name for themselves. They're drawing girls to want to be a part of their program. So that's what helps them build such a strong, like, I guess, community of a team. They are drawing girls with the same worth ethic, which is right. going to benefit them.
Hmm. All right, let's go to Class 4A. Six WPL teams were part of this bracket. In the first round, it was 3-3, an even split. North Catholic, the WPIL champs, a winner, a big over Conneaut. Blackhawk, the runners-up, winners, big over Harbor Creek. Laurel Highlands a winner. Great turnaround program, great story for the Mustangs. Again, a young team having success. They defeated Johnstown 51-48. Knock has its season ends in a high-scoring affair, 33-26. Elizabeth Forward falls in overtime, 71-64, and Highlands loses by one. Couple heartbreaking losses. The Golden Rams fall to the Flying Dutch of St. Mary's, 40-39. I'm going to test you on all these nicknames coming up a little later.
Oh, God.
In the second round, the North Catholic and Blackhawk, the finalists from the district, prevail. North Catholic beats Warren handily, 59-32. Blackhawk beats St. Mary's handily, 63-33. Laurel Highlands season, though, comes to an end, 45-36. So, again, same situation as Shadyside Academy and Armstrong. If North Catholic and Blackhawk are going to meet again, it will be in the state semifinals. Coming up, North Catholic on Saturday. These games are Saturday afternoon. At Bald Eagle High School, 2 o'clock, they're playing Wyomissing. The Spartans are a perfect 27-0. Blackhawk takes on Fairview from District 10 at Slippery Rock University at 2:30. Universal Audenried will take on DeLone Catholic. DeLone Catholic only one loss on the season. Scranton Prep against Central Columbia in the other two semifinals. So what we're just talking about, in 3A, we see it here in 4A as well with the WPIL finalists, the lone survivors.
Yeah, I mean, clearly North Catholic has their hands full coming up, but they're a team that they come from a strong program. They come from a strong background. I mean, they play great teams continuously. I feel like 4A basketball for girls, especially in the WPIL, is relatively equally, like, competitive. I feel like each side of the bracket or each side of the section, even just for WPIL, is really competitive. So I think that going into that, they're going to have a lot of confidence, but at the same time, I think they're definitely going to need to really focus if they want to see Blackhawk again. And I think that they can.
How much do you know? And you should, because you're a student of the game. How much do you know about Molly Robin? She is, even though she would deny it, she is building a legendary coaching career at the helm of the North Catholic Trojans.
We've played them for multiple years in a row now, and every year she has been one of the most respectful coaches that I know, which is something that I know personally, it means a lot more to me than if a coach were to just be a great coach with a great team.
Sure.
I feel like coaches who are personable and they want to talk to other players and they encourage other players, they're the coaches that build the best programs because they want success for their players. And I feel like that's something that she really wants, is for her players to do well, for her players to excel and go do great things in life. And I feel like I think that that's definitely her key to why she's doing so well.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned it, because a lot of times we focus, whether it's the player or the coach, we focus on the numbers, and there's just so much more to the story. And there are so many outstanding coaches who are in it for the right reason. They're not, winning a championship is nice, but they're not about the wins. They're not about the titles. They're about developing the young athletes that are in their care, whether they're boys or girls, and helping them take the next step, whether they're playing basketball or not. A lot of kids aren't playing basketball at Absolutely. The next level. So, I'm glad that you brought the human side of it. Because yeah, I think it
just separates her from a lot of the other great coaches. I know a lot of great coaches between 5A, 6A, 4A that I have spoken to, and despite how great of coaches they are, they're not open and welcoming to talking to other good players, and they just want their players to succeed and not necessarily everybody else. And every single time we've played North Catholic, she has been very complimentary of me. She's been supportive, and she does one of those like extra little side hug handshakes at the end of the line, which is something I always appreciate. And I just think that that's definitely what separates her from having a good program and having a great program.
Yeah. I mean, don't have blinders on to where all you see is your team.
Exactly.
You know, there's so much great talent out there, as we've talked about over the last few weeks. And it's just like, enjoy everything. Even if your team wins or loses, just enjoy all aspects of what we're doing. All right, to Class 5A now. Like the boys have four teams into the quarterfinals, so they're guaranteed. That's the one thing that we know in Hershey, the boys 5A will have a team. Girls 5A is looking pretty good too. In the first round, this classification has had so much success. We talked about it last time in previewing the state playoffs, how much success 5A has had. They went 5-2 again in the opening round. South Fayette, the WPL champs, a winner. Armstrong, runners-up, a winner. Oakland Catholic, McKeesport, the two semifinalists, winners. And Indiana, a one-point winner over York Suburban. Lincoln Park Falls, great season for the Leopards, but they lose by 4 to Northern York, and Trinity lost to District 10 power Cathedral Prep. In the second round, Armstrong continues their great run. Emma Paul continues to shine. They defeat Hollidaysburg 54-39. And the other two games were battles between WPIL teams. Yep. McKeesport handles Indiana 48-27. They beat the Little Indians in the district playoffs. They do it again in the state playoffs. And Oakland Catholic, instead of the run-and-gun Eagles that we're used to under head coach Eddie Benton, they slow it down. They go zone. They hit South Fayette all scrambled on their heels, and they grind out a 48-28 victory, eliminating South Fayette, which made it all the way to Hershey a year ago. Did that result surprise you?
It did, especially because of South Fayette's run that they're coming off of, and Oakland Catholic's, I guess, I don't want to say like downslope, but they're coming off some injuries, like they're trying to regroup and come back. And the first round win is obviously a great thing for them. They're coming off of a loss. To be able to pick back up and win like that, that's a big win. I think that definitely helped them, but I was definitely surprised to see, especially such a big gap in that win. But also, I want to comment on Armstrong and how I feel like they are a team that is, they are going to go really far. I said it last time, and I said it again. Emma Paul is the player that she can lead her team to whatever she wants. I mean, she single-handedly dominated her last game. I mean, was she at 30? Like, in a state playoff game, I think that's a really impressive number to throw up there. Especially speaking of what the score was, I mean, she really just plays a huge impact for their team. So if she wants to win, I have a feeling they have a good chance of making it really far.
Yeah. I mean, I had a chance to see the, Oakland Catholic game, and they've had to make adjustments. They were undefeated, heavy favorites, I don't want to say heavy favorites, but they were the favorites to win it all in 5A. They lose London Creech, who's their top player. And Eddie Benton said, everyone talks about next man up or next person up. But when you lose someone like that, and Pete Serio, I'm sure, would say it when he lost you, it's tough to say next person up because you're losing so much. And they had to adjust. They lost the semifinal game to Armstrong. They lost to McKeesport in the consolation game. But now he said they've had some practices. They're starting to, as we saw with your team, find themselves knowing that they're going to be without London. And now they're playing a different style. They threw an effective zone, shutting down South Fayette. So adjust and adapt, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's something that great teams do. They figure out that one player, sure, they may make a big impact, but they don't necessarily define you. I mean, there's not one player on a team for a reason. You can't win a game with one player. It'll help you, absolutely, but the rest of your team, whether they have you or not, if they have your back, then you're going to be a great team. But if they feel like you're the only player on the team, then they might not do so well.
The quarterfinals, by the way, in 5A coming up, Oakland Catholic heads north. They'll take on District 10 Power Cathedral Prep. That game at Sharon High School, 1 o'clock. These are on Saturday. Armstrong McKeesport, square off. That's going to be a dandy.
Absolutely.
11:30 tip. I think it was scheduled for noon originally. They moved it up 11:30 at Norwin High School. The Hawks 23-5, the Tigers 23-4. Eastern side, Abington Heights, Bethlehem Catholic, and Scranton against Archbishop Wood. Real quick, Armstrong McKeesport, who do you like?
Cool. I want to say Armstrong just because I feel like Emma Paul is a great leader, and I feel like McKeesport absolutely is a great team, but I feel like they're more of a spread out team, and when you have one leader in these sorts of scenarios, I feel like, especially when she's such an example and vocal leader, that she's going to be able to pull her team through and make sure everybody does what they need to do in order to pull with this win, especially with all the familiarity that they have with one another.
Emma, Trib HSSN Girls Player of the Week a few weeks ago, and Rachel Manfredo of McKeesport was our Player of the Week this past week. You weren't Player of the Week this year, were you? No, you weren't.
I don't think so.
Just say it. No.
I don't.
Because I was
at one point. I don't think I was.
No. We had you on last year.
That's okay, yeah. I mean, I only played two section games. So, it was really, I mean, unless it was the first week, like, no. Aren't many options for us to choose from for Player of the Week here.
All right. Let's go up to 6A. Four WPL teams, and it was a clean sweep in round one. Norwin 54-29 over William Penn. Chartiers Valley 44-43, a tight one over Altoona. Peters Township 69-49 over Lebanon, and North Allegheny defeating Erie 57-23. So 4-4 heading into the second round, and not so much. Norwin and Chartiers Valley, so you're going to have one team eliminated right there. Norwin wins 56-47. Peters Township was up at one point, but they end up losing 74-53 to Springford out of District 1. And North Allegheny loses at the buzzer, a lay-in literally at the buzzer in overtime. North Penn 56, North Allegheny 54. Heartbreak for Spence and company. At NA. So the quarterfinals, these games are Friday night. Norwin takes on Springford. That game is at State College at 6:30. North Penn will go up against Garnet Valley at Bensalem at 7 o'clock. Perkiomen Valley against Cardinal O'Hara, and Parkland against Archbishop Carroll. So what we have in District 1 with 8 teams left, 2 of them are from District 12, the Philly schools. 4 of them are from District 1, that's the suburban Philadelphia area. And Norwin, the only one now from the WPIAL.
I was really surprised to see these last 3 scores. I mean, there were 3 great games. I mean, obviously, the North Allegheny game was, that's really bad luck. I mean, that's really heartbreaking. I feel terrible for them. I would hate to end my season like that. I thought that Peters Township game was I was really surprised that they were up like 10 at some point, and then they lost by close to 20. Yeah. Which is surprising to see a 21. Team. It's surprising to see a team that has, like, they could score the basketball, go from being up by a lot to lacking scoring, I guess. But same with the Norwin CV game. That was, Norwin was down at halftime. I think by two. I don't know. It was, all I know is at halftime it was really close, and Stevie was actually up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was, those are those types of games that you really just.
One thing we've seen, and let's get your players' perspective before we wrap things up here, is on both sides, boys and girls, especially in the state playoffs. I think we saw it a little bit in the district playoffs. We're seeing some big comebacks now.
Absolutely.
You know, these teams at this level at this point are all good, right? They can all score the basketball. They all play pretty good defense. But when you see some of these big comebacks or game changings where, like you were talking about the Peters Township game, where you go from a double-digit lead to you end up losing by 20.
Yeah.
To me, it says two things. And again, I'm just a flunky media guy, so I'm going to get your players' perspective. You're seeing desperate teams amp up defensively, right?
Absolutely.
But you're also seeing teams get tight. And a lot of things, whether it's teams maybe trying to take the air out of the ball and it not working, or or just getting too tight, even though you're in control, adding to them losing the lead.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And I think that one of the things that causes that is getting comfortable when you have a lead. I feel like when teams are comfortable with their lead and they feel confident in themselves, whether it be a comfort confident or even like a, okay, like let's keep going confident, the second that the other team makes a dent in that or a big, right. Like they say they open the half with a big run, that's going to be a little intimidating. And I feel like the teams that aren't used to that are the teams that, I guess, crumble and don't necessarily handle those situations in the best way. And then I feel like the teams that can embrace it and be like, all right, they're not just going to give up and give us this win. We're going to give it back 10 times harder than what they're giving us are the teams that excel.
Or a team, the one thing that I've never liked is when a team is just cooking offensively. Everything's working. Outside shots, you know, cutters to the hoop, you know, getting it into the bigs. Everything's working. And then all of a sudden, a coach tries to slow it down. We want to eat up some clock.
And I'm like,
no, that's like, because you do that and it just changes your mentality as a team.
I think that that's also definitely something. Like, say there's half a quarter left and you're up 10. That is still a half a quarter. I know players that have scored more than 10 points in half a quarter. There is no, like, teams can still score in that period of time. And just because you're slowing it down on your offensive side, and that's going to slow down your mentality, that's going to slow down your urge for defense. And then the second the other team gets the ball and they're pushing it, you're not going to know what to do because you're set back in comfort mode and you're just trying to hold the, not necessarily hold the ball, but keep your lead. And you're trying to slow it down and just kind of end the game early, almost in a sense. But the teams that shut that down are the teams that embrace it.
Yeah. I get it as a coach. You don't want to come down if you have a 10-point lead with 4 minutes left. You don't want to come down and just start chucking, you know.
No, absolutely
not. At the same time, you can take a little air out of the basketball, but always look to score. What drives me nuts is when a team is, you know, playing their four corner spread offense and they're dribbling around, passing the ball, and they get a girl or a guy gets an open lane and they
stand there.
They kick it back out. Mm-hmm. It's like, take it to the hole and score. They're giving it to you.
Yeah, and I think that that's something, like, I feel like I've never heard a coach say, like, in earlier situations, maybe towards, like, the end, like, 1 or 2 minutes, like, don't, like, no shots at all. I've definitely heard that. But in the 4 to 5 minute mark, when coaches are telling you to hold the ball and you're just thinking, like, okay, like, slow myself down, that's going to make you want to pass up a shot, whether you're told to or not. So that's going to make the coach mad, too, and they're going to be like, sure, I'm telling you to slow down, but I'm not telling you to completely shut down.
You're mentally turning it off.
And absolutely. That's a huge disadvantage.
Bad.
Very bad. Especially because once you're out of it and the other team uses that as leverage, you're gonna shut off even
You
more.
Can't turn it back on.
You can't. It's almost impossible.
Yep.
Especially if they get ahead.
I've seen a lot of teams lose games because they tried to turn it back on and they couldn't.
And they couldn't, yep.
All right. We have solved all issues pertaining to basketball.
The basketball gods.
That's right. What an enjoyable, 35 minutes this has been. You have a curfew, so you need to get to bed because you are a busy young gal. But we appreciate it as always. We'll go, a little programming note, we'll go back to Wednesday next week. We'll dance around your busy schedule, but Wednesday we'll go. So we'll be previewing the championships.
Sounds good.
All right. Got to check with you first. All right.
No, we're good. I don't got to work until 5 tomorrow or on next Wednesday. I mean, so we got time. We got time.
Excellent. All right. That'll do it. We appreciate the Chris Lackner, our producer, Riley Calique of Upper St. Clair with her great insight. I'm Don Rebel. Thank you for joining us on the Road to Hershey Rebel Yell podcast, Triple Hive High School Sports Network.